Now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green's World, a fun and informative green talk radio show that features guests from all over the country who talk about how living green can improve your lifestyle and be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website, www.mrsgreensworld.com, for more information about her guests.
Good afternoon to you. Happy Saturday. Welcome to Mrs. Green's World News Talk 790 KNST. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are going to New York City today for our caller. We're not literally going to New York City, and I think given the weather reports from back there, that is a beautiful thing. But our guest is a return guest, Robin Wilson, eco-designer, author, and expert on designing an eco-friendly home from the inside out. She has an amazing book that talks about the importance of building a home from the foundation to the furniture, some really interesting concepts that I want to talk to Robin about later in the show. So we are going to welcome her back. And now we have a little bit of news, which I always like to, you know, I have a nose for news. So I want to tell you about what's going on in the Tucson community and in Mrs. Green's world. And please do me a favor, just go to MrsGreensWorld.com. I kind of have the whiny voice a little bit, and put up your New Year's resolution. And it's not so much for you, but for the people that are reading them. There are some unbelievable, just people sharing what they have committed to for 2011. So MrsGreensWorld.com, enter the contest. And it's not about the contest, it's about the message and being part of a green community. It's fun, some unbelievable comments and really heartfelt, thought out things about women and children and men and what they're going to do. Okay, Iskashita, if you are listening from Tucson, it's a refugee harvesting network, and their mantra is, what's going to waste in Tucson? And this time of year, oranges, limes, tangerines, lemons, navel oranges, tangelos, Myers, I don't even know what that is, grapefruits, ruby red grapefruits, pecans. A lot of these things are rotting on people's trees, and this group came to my Rotary Club the other day, and just at my table alone, people said, I have three boxes of oranges. I don't have enough friends. I don't have enough neighbors to give them away. They're so prolific. So if you have a way to contact Mrs. Green's World or go on to their website, you can find out. They're the Refugee Harvesting Network, and they'll come and harvest your fruit for you. What's wrong with me today? I'm talking too fast because there's so much to say. They will harvest your fruit for you. And don't let food go to waste. Lord knows in this town, in this city, in this world, there are lots of people who can use your fruit, so make sure you do it. The Marana 5K run is next week. I'm sorry I can't be there. If anyone has figured out that be two places at once, you can call me on my cell phone and I'll give you that number. I can't be there because I'm going to be having a blast at the food co-op on 4th Avenue talking about how green is your Super Bowl. And I can't emphasize that enough. People are going to start buying things this week and just think green for your Super Bowl, from soup to nuts and paper plates. And you don't need a lot of decorations, and get creative. But the 5K run, it's a free event. They all have almost 400 people signed up already. It's a community event. They're asking you to bring food for the food bank. A non-perishable bag of food is what they're asking. They will donate that to the community food bank. From what I understand, they have lots of really neat prizes. They're going to have booths. So if you need any more information on that, always info@mrsgreensworld.com, and we'd like to help you out. So Mrs. Green is actually a sponsor of that. And, of course, you can find them on Twitter and Facebook. Can't you find everything on Twitter and Facebook? And then I want to talk about Bookmans for a minute. And I unabashedly just claim them as one of my biggest supporters and sponsors, and it's a great partnership. They're sponsoring a big part of the Green Fest that's coming up in the beginning of April, another awesome community event that's going to be at UA Farms this week. And I have to tell you a little story about my granddaughter. She broke her wrist skiing this week. She goes to school in Taos, and as part of their school, they ski once a week, and she broke her wrist. And she talked to my husband last night, and she said, Grandpa, when I come to Tucson, and she's coming for spring break, she said, I want to go to Bookman's so I can get the third Harry Potter book. Now, I am so proud of her, but my point is, Bookman's is part of our family, and we've taken our grandchildren there, and it's a place you can go that's part of the community, and that you never have to buy a new book again. So you're saving things from the landfill, you're supporting a local business, you're reducing by not having a new book printed, you're reusing, and you're recycling. So it's a green trifecta. They're a big part of the Festival of Books. I mean, they just show up. So I have a big, huge shout out for Bookmans from my heart on that. And I just thought it was so cute that my granddaughter said that. And she said she might be listening today. So Maddie V, if you're listening, I love you. I love Liam. And take care of that wrist, the poor little muffin. It's not been fun. And they didn't even set it yet. So that's more than you ever needed to know about Mrs. Green. But if you listen to this, you know the place my grandchildren have in my heart right there at the top. Another cool thing that's coming up, and I wish I knew how to get more people involved in this, but there's something called Rumba, and a friend of mine, Barry Herr, is one of the founders of it, and it's part of Tucson Clean and Beautiful, and it's actually a recycling event where you can make recycled art using paper, plastic, wood, old toys, parts of broken things. It doesn't matter. And it's going to be, there's a competition. They get a lot of help from the Saba Home Show. And you can find all you want to know about it at Tucson Clean and Beautiful, another great organization. But I've gone just to go see it. And there are professionals who cannot win and aspiring artists who can win. But it's just a fun event, and again, always, info at Mrs. Green's World, love people to come and visit my website. So, and Rumba stands for Reuse Materials Becoming Art, and Rumba sounds so much more fun, doesn't it, Kat? It's like, you know, it just doesn't really sound good to say reuse materials becoming art, but Rumba sounds like you could go there, dance a little bit, pick your favorite art piece, and it's just a really nice, fun thing to do. And I'm hoping to get Mr. Green to put a creation in there. And there are definite specifications. They have to be three-dimensional. They can't be bigger than 2 feet by 3 feet. All those details that send me into a tizzy and I can't stand it. Schools are invited to participate. If you're a teacher and you're listening, it's a fun thing to get schools around. And it's, of course, there's prizes, there'll be certificates awarded, and it's just a great community event, and I love to have that. So in case you just tuned in, thank you so much for tuning in. We have a guest calling in, Robin Wilson, who's an eco designer, author, and expert. And there are some surprises coming up in this show from what I read from her book. So we'd love to hear you have questions. There are going to be some giveaways. The phone number is 520-880-5678. And I'm going to get better about this, but I'd love to visit you. Love for you to visit www.mrsgreensworld.com to find out what's going on in Tucson. Stay tuned. Please stay here with me. We'll be right back with Robin Wilson from New York City.
790KMST.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Good afternoon to you. Happy Saturday. Welcome to Mrs. Green's World News Talk 790KNST, where we have a lot of fun getting information about the world of green and a lot of really good information. Today is no exception. In fact, it's exceptional. Return guest Robin Wilson calling in from New York City. And she is an eco-designer, author, and expert on designing eco-friendly homes from the inside out. She is author of the book, The Kennedy Greenhouse. Welcome, Robin.
Hello, hello.
It's so nice to have you back, and I have better questions this time.
Oh, stop. You know, with the piles of snow that we have outside, and the fact that I know it's probably 60 or 70 degrees in your neck of the woods, I'm really, really envious.
It is so unbelievably awesome. There's not a cloud in the sky. We have the Gem Show starting here, and it's so good for tourism and so good that people love the Gem Show here. So it's the city is very alive, the restaurants are full, and we are so happy when this blue sky stays just bright blue and there's no rain. And for us, like for me, it's so funny. I think I've told you before, I'm from New Jersey. So, but I've lived here 35 years. So when it's 60, I'm wearing a sweater and the Easterners are swimming in the pool.
You go by be one of the swimming people.
Right. You go by the resorts and you're like, did I just hear a splash? Like someone's in the pool. We're all with our, you know, socks and shoes and sweaters. So it's very different. So piles of snow. I have family from New Jersey And my sister sends me pictures. She was going over the Tappan Zee Bridge the other day. And, man, it was not pretty.
It is definitely not pretty. There's a, you know, they plowed the yard or the street right outside of my building, and the mound of snow was tall enough that you could easily do a bit of snowboarding.
It's just something that we forget out here. We do forget. And it's like my sister will send me a picture, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's right. It's not gorgeous everywhere. And I know the airports were closed again. You've gotten blasted this winter. But anyway, there's something I want to say so that I don't forget. I get lots of books sent to me now that Mrs. Green's presence is growing, and I'm interviewing people from all over the country. Your book is really and truly outstanding, and you're not a sponsor, and I don't have to say that, but your book is the kind of book that makes me go down the rabbit hole. I want to read more. I want to see more. I want to understand more, because you really get it in the view that I call from 30,000 feet about from the foundation to the roof and everything inside. So let's about that inspiration for you about you are so passionate, and it shows. It's not a technical book. It's a warm, inviting, and technical book.
Thank you so very much for that compliment. And I do hope that your listeners both go to our website, robinwilsonhome.com, to become our Facebook friend, because we do provide good tips periodically, and also to consider purchasing Kennedy Greenhouse, which was published last year, and it's an overview of the private residence of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., which was a toxic home, sick with black mold, and then rebuilt from the foundation to the furniture with eco-friendly products.
Now let me ask you this. If Robert Kennedy Greenhouse is the name of the book, I'm glad you read
Kennedy Greenhouse.
And did you learn, because the book is about that, but it's about so much more. And that's what I want to tell people, is that it's about so much more. Even if you're doing a retrofit on your own house, it's not just about that. So when you were involved in the process from the beginning to end, were there a lot of things that you learned as well, or did you bring a lot of those pieces to the party?
Well, we had a wonderful team of people. I think what I brought to the party is the fact that I grew up with allergies and asthma. I'm from Austin, Texas, so I call that the allergy capital of the world, because there's grasses and trees and pollen all year round. So what I brought to the table was the reality of being a child with allergies and asthma, someone who, if the pillow was a down pillow, I was going to wake up wheezing and sneezing in the middle of the night. If someone smoked, I was going to be wheezing and sneezing. And if someone had a pet, I would also have the same symptoms. So when you read this book, or when you go onto our website, we're trying to give people tips about wellness, about prevention of wheezing and sneezing, and the various eco-friendly things you can do at a high budget and a low budget to facilitate the health of your family.
And everything in between. And that's what mm-hmm. I like about your book. It's everything in between. If you're not going to build the Kennedy Greenhouse, but you care, and there are so many health-related issues to the environment. I think that in reading your book, that's what I want to bring up later in the show, are some of those surprises. And mm-hmm. I also have to do this. I really was wondering, you know, we have I think it's the fourth or third largest festival of books in Tucson in March. Mm. And so next year, I don't want to put you on the spot, but next year I'd love to figure out how to bring you here. I know that they do bring the authors here, and we provide lodging. We have 60,000 people in a weekend that come to the Tucson Festival of Books. And I thought, I'm busy, but why didn't I think about Robin? Because it's a great place there. You know, you can be on a panel. So note to self, on the air, I'm saying I'm committing to keeping Robin in touch, and maybe I'll be the moderator of your panel, and it will all work out. And it's a great time to come to Tucson. March is not bad. So
Well, as long as the weather is as perfect as I hear it is, you won't have to twist my arm.
No arm twisting. And I'm sure we could keep you busy with book signings and all that stuff. And I mean, I'm that impressed with your book that I'm saying, let's do it. So what I'd like to talk about is just without being in the sustainability mindset, you have this career, you have this professional background that you bring, you have expertise in an area as an eco-designer. Was writing and promoting a book a whole nother animal? That's daunting to me. It's like that's
it
a big project.
It is absolutely daunting. You know, one thing that I told someone, I believe it was over lunch yesterday, because they asked me, how hard was it to write the book, or did I have a ghostwriter? And I said, nope, I wrote the book.
I am the ghost.
I'm the ghost, and truly became a ghost for my friends. So I will tell anyone who wants to write a book, you really have to get all the distractions away, and you have to make a pact with yourself that you will write at least 1 hour a day, if not more. My writing time involved being on a train to and from the project, which was 1 hour from the city. And so very often I was on my BlackBerry actually writing text. The other thing I did was, which I'm sure anyone who has children or young people in their house, they're not going to be able to do this, but I disconnected the cable and put the TV back in its box. And that means when I went home every night, there was really nothing to do except write. And had I had these great reality shows at my fingertips with a remote control, I might not have finished the book in 3 months. But I think you have to really commit yourself to writing and rewriting and editing. And it's a lot of fun when it's done. But then you have to go to the next level of getting on the road and making sure that people are aware of it and hoping that it sells.
Well, there's a part of the thing that I would call yours a coffee table book. And there are coffee table books that look pretty, and there are coffee table books that are inviting, and people want to page through them. And yours is aesthetically pleasing, and then people start reading the content, so it's content rich. And other than your website, can people get it, like, on Amazon? Can they go to Amazon.com?
Absolutely.
And get it?
The
okay.
book, KennedyGreenhouse.com. First of all, KennedyGreenhouse.com is a website. If you want more information about the project, the various sponsors, including companies like Holiday Kitchens, Kohler, Mohawk,
right.
Benjamin Moore, you can actually see what their contributions were. And there's a video photo album that's really nice on that site. On top of that, you'll learn more about the Green Dream Team, Jim Blansfield, who is a builder, Patrick Croak, and a wonderful guy, Brooks Washburn, who were architects on the project, as well as myself, and Bill Mayo, who were the project manager. The other thing is the book is for sale on the Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and other websites. And I truly hope that at least one or two of you out there will go buy it.
I truly hope they will, too, because it's worth it. And before you called in, we have an unbelievable used bookstore here, too. It's not one. I think they have seven throughout the state. And this guy, his name is Bob Oldfather, and he and his team of people create communities. Like, you can go into Bookman's and stay there, and they have easy chairs all over the place. And you can go and stay for an afternoon. And my grandchildren love to go there. It's very affordable, so it's not the same as you selling another book. I understand that, but it's it's a very eco-friendly thing to do, and I'm so happy that I have my copy. And when you said it took you 3 months, that's amazing to me, because this is
no television will do that to you.
Oh my gosh, and it's such a good inspiration for me, like when I'm at night just wanting to go to sleep, and believe me, TV will put me to sleep, so I can just do that. But that's such a, because I've started a book, and that means I have, I think, 5 pages, and that was from last summer when I was away at my cabin, and I did have the time to focus on it, but I do have an hour a day, so that's really inspirational to me, and I love that. So what I'd like to do when we come back is go kind of room by room about what we can do to make a difference. If we wanted to do an entire retrofit or build a house from the ground up, your book tells you what's important to do that. But I think it'd be fun to kind of go room by room so that people can understand what they can do. And the question that I'm going to pose to listeners is, what's the most important room in your house to be eco-friendly and why? And I'm putting it out there because I love it when callers come in with answers. But if the first caller who gets it will win a gift certificate to Eclectic Pizza, which when you come here next year for the Festival of Books, I'll take you out there. It's an organic organic, absolutely over the top, delicious spinach salad. I know the owners. So if you want to call in, what's the most important room in your house to be eco-friendly and why? The number is 520-880-5678. And we are interviewing Robin Wilson, eco-designer, author, and expert on designing an eco-friendly home from the inside out. And we really do have lots to share. So does that sound good to you, Robin, about what
we
do?
I'm thrilled. Because I cannot wait.
I was just shocked about some of the rooms, and I think we're going to talk about indoor and outdoor and what's more important. That'll be my second teaser. So you're listening to News Talk 790 KNST. This is Mrs. Green's World, and we are so glad that you tuned in. Stay tuned because we're going to have more fun questions and answers. What is the most important in room in your house to be eco-friendly and why? 520-880-5678. Please stay here with me.
790KNST.com.
Whoa, love that intro. Good afternoon to you. Happy Saturday. I am welcoming you to Mrs. Green's World News Talk 790 KNST, and I thank you so much for tuning in. We have Robin Wilson calling in from New York City, where there are piles of snow. Robin is an eco-designer, author, and expert on designing eco-friendly homes from the inside out. If you know which room is the most important in your house to be eco-friendly and why, we'd love to hear from you, 520-880-5678, and we have a caller on the line. Gary, thanks for calling in. What's your guess?
Thank you. I'm going to say it's the bedroom because that's where you spend most of your time.
Bingo. Okay, I have my little bell here now. I love the bell going off. So that's great. That's the answer, and that is exactly why. So thank you for calling in. Kat's on the line to get your information, and we've got a great gift certificate to Eclectic Pizza coming out to you.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling in. Okay, Gary won. Bingo. That's good. So can we talk about that a little bit, Robin? Why is it so important if you're going to do one room that you start with the bedroom?
Well, so many people don't realize you spend one-third of your life sleeping, and that means your pillow, your mattress, your linens, the paint on the walls, the rugs or carpets on the floor should not be off-gassing while you're sleeping.
And tell people what off-gassing means, because before I was Mrs. Green, I did not have any idea what that even meant. I know paint smelled. That was about as deep as I got.
Well, that's a simple way to look at it, but so many people don't realize that what off-gassing really means is it's those chemical smells that permeate a place. And a simple example is the vinyl shower curtain that you unpack and you put in your bathroom, and you have that plasticky paint, chemical, petroleum smell.
You're
you don't
absolutely
want
right.
That.
And some people think that smells like something new, but it's a whole different twist for me now. I have cloth. So.
Exactly. Or you can have nylon. And nylon also is a better product than vinyl.
Okay. So in the bedroom, there are so many components to this, because some people who have tile in their whole house want carpet in their bedroom. So carpet's one thing. Bedspreads. What about drapes?
Well, again, you can have drapes. However, most people, if they're really honest with themselves, well, if you said, when was the last time you cleaned these drapes? They'll say 10 years ago. And so you just have to look at that as it's a dust catcher, and it is something that you should just make sure you're keeping clean. My suggestion, if you're going to have drapes, is to make sure that they are non-toxic, meaning they're not made of vinyl, and that most importantly, that they're cleaned on a regular basis.
And what about things like, do they still do things like spray fire retardant and things like that on drapes and for linings? How pervasive is that in the industry these days?
Well, it depends on the manufacturer. I think Hunter Douglas is a phenomenal company for what I call window shades. If you have a custom drape manufactured, then you're going to see a lining that is perhaps a silk or a burlap or any other number of materials. The key, though, is to make sure that you limit those chemical smells, because that is what off-gassing is.
Right.
And regardless of how it's made, you know, some people say, oh, I'm going to spray that, and I'll use the name Febreze all over my house because it smells.
So awful.
Which probably means it's dirt. And I'm like, why are you spraying Febreze instead of sending your cushions out to be cleaned or vacuuming or, you know, mopping the floor? So you're just masking odors, but you're also putting additional chemicals in the air.
And there's a good point about carpet. I didn't know that carpet could off-gas. It's another thing that you really have to look at. And I think that I'd like to actually go through a whole segment on flooring. But in the bedroom, where you do spend so much of your time, it's really important to know that you have to be very judicious about the kind of carpet you pick, because it can off-gas. The glue that they use, it's just really, like your book says, for the foundation, from the inside out, every little aspect, and it's not really hard. You don't take it all on at once. And then the plug I'd like to make is that when you do get carpet, it's really important to get an eco-friendly carpet cleaner, and there are more and more of them, because that's where the world is trending. But don't get someone to come in and you have this eco-friendly carpet and they drench it in toxins and your house smells for 3 days.
Exactly.
I think that's really another important part to remember it. And then what about bedding? Like, what can be wrong with bedding? <It's> like...
Well, you certainly want to make sure that you're using products that are washable, if possible. There are some things that are dry clean only. I recommend trying to get things that are washable. At one point, we talked about getting organic cotton only. The problem with that is, I don't know if you've been following the issues in other countries that typically make our linens, cotton prices are the highest that they've been in 80 years. And so I just recommend getting the best linens you can afford. If you can afford organic, go ahead. But if you cannot, then just make sure that the linens you get, you can wash them before you put them on your bed.
And there's no danger then. I mean, I just think about, even like, we have a really high-end, and it's happening, a Goodwill here. That is just, we call it the designer Goodwill, because they're really becoming so popular here. You cannot believe the finds. And if you take them home and wash them, you know, sheets and pillowcases, there, you don't have to go to the highest end look there. I like to talk about people that don't have the budget to go buy, you know, $150 sheets and pillowcases. There are options that can be healthy for your environment.
Exactly.
And I just have to bring this up. Like, I have a person that I've been meeting with constantly who's one of the smartest people in the world. That's what I tell him. And he owns one of the largest pest control companies in the world, I believe. I think they're in 30 countries. And it's Truly Nolan. And Scott Nolan is the guy. And he's, I mean, I'm obsessed about bed bugs. And he's oh, man.
It's gross, isn't it?
It is so gross. But it's like, yeah, be careful, people. And he told me what to look for when you go to hotels. And
exactly.
The green solution to getting rid of them. So I think prevention is a good idea there. But it's not a cleanliness issue either. It's not like if you go to bed dirty, you get bed bugs. But it's not really relevant to your book. But there is a whole part of the creating a very healthy atmosphere in which to breathe. And then in your bedroom, I went into a building the other day, and I've gotten so much more sensitive to all of it in my journey as Mrs. Green. And I went to a new building, and I was sick from the smell of paint. Not like sick, I have to go faint, but it was so much in my lungs. And I thought, no low VOC or no VOC paint here. And all of their staff will be breathing that in every day.
Ooh.
For a long time. The paint issue is not a good one. So carpet and linens. And what about dry cleaning? Because to me, you said dry cleaning, it's better not to. But like, we have here, Schaefer's is one of my sponsors. They're perk-free. Is that catching on in your world, like in New York City?
Perk-free is good.
Perk-free is
good. You got a good sponsor there.
Good sponsor. And I just,
yep.
I vet them, so it's really good. Okay.
Good.
All right, so we have the bedroom finished. Let's move on, if we have time before the break, to the bathroom. There's some very interesting information you know, everybody knows keep the bathroom clean, on and on. But your book takes it a little bit deeper because you look at not just toxins but energy efficiency and the bigger picture of sustainability. So let's talk about the bathroom a little bit. I'm obsessed with toilets, and everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. I have a Niagara toilet, 1.28 gallons, that I got from my friend John. His actually new name is Big John, the toilet guy, but he is a green plumber, certified green plumber. So talk about bathrooms and the challenge that faces, that we, you know, that presents.
I think that when you are, when you enter your bathroom, there are two things that you should be aware of. The first is try to change your vinyl shower curtain to a nylon shower curtain. That's a $16 solution that everyone should do. Number two, if you have a free solution everyone should do, it's close the lid on the toilet when you flush. There are microscopic particles of water. If you don't believe me, put clear plastic wrap on top of your toilet with the lid open and flush. And you will see water droplets on that foil or on that plastic wrap. And imagine, though, those microscopic particles flying all over your bathroom, especially if your toothbrush is nearby. Now, you should be going, ew, by now.
I am doing a big ew.
That's a basic. And so I tell people that, and they go, oh, my gosh. So flush the lid or close the lid on your toilet when you flush. And not just because your wife or your girlfriend told you to, guys, but because it's healthier for you.
Put the seat down.
Right.
Oh, the other thing is, I'm in big ooh land right now.
Yes, you need to be because it's really gross. But on top of that, you might want to consider low-flow shower heads.
Right.
Dual flush toilets. That's a big button for big flush, a small button for small flush.
Right, that's my
next
move.
And also aerators for the faucet, which if you buy a WaterSense faucet, those are already built in. And
okay.
WaterSense is similar to the EPA Energy Star program,
okay,
where it's energy efficient or water efficient products. And so those are the basics. And I recommend, again, regular washing of the bath rug and regular replacement of your toothbrush.
And those are really simple things that don't cost a lot of money. The vinyl shower curtain, I think a lot of people may not have thought about that. I am so, like, really totally now grossed out about the toilet thing, and I will be obsessive about it.
Mm-hmm.
And high-efficiency toilets, like my friend John Smith, he sells them installed for, like, $199 or $250 or something, and it saves so much water. Okay, callers, we're going to have another question. Indoor quality versus outdoor quality. Which do we have to be worried about more? 520-880-5678. Mrs. Green's World interviewing Robin Wilson, eco designer from New York City. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
790KMFT.com.
Good afternoon to you. Happy Saturday. Welcome to Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790KNST. Thank you so much for calling in. My question before the break, which Robin Wilson, eco designer, author, and expert on designing eco-friendly homes, was which do you have to worry about more, indoor air quality or outdoor air quality? And she's got the answer. If you do, 520-880-5678, and we do have a caller on the line. Martha, thanks for calling in. What's your answer?
Is it inside?
It is inside. We have two right answers today, two callers. And Martha, why do you think that?
I think it's mainly because of the way that your house ventilates the air inside of it. Because, like, if your, like, air vents are all dirty, it can, like, the air particles have,
absolutely,
like, dirt,
right,
and dust and grime, and just nasty.
Absolutely right. It's just nasty. I love that.
Give her that prize.
I'll give her that prize. We're really happy. Thanks, Martha. Stay on the line, and Kat will take your order. Take your order. Yeah, this is a pizza place. Take your number and your information, and you are going to get a gift certificate to Bookman's, which I referred to earlier. So if you just tuned in, Robin is the author of the book Kennedy Greenhouse. You can get it at her website, robinwilson.com. You can get it at Barnes & Noble's website, Amazon.com. And I want to tell you my own personal endorsement. It is an amazing book if you have plans to do anything inside or outside of your home. in the not too distant future or in the distant future. It's a very readable, friendly, user-friendly book. Okay, so do you want to elaborate a little bit, Robin, on why indoor is so much more important and why cleaning products matter and other things that you have to look out for to live a sustainable lifestyle in your inside your home?
Well, first I want to tell everyone to visit robinwilsonhome.com. We have a little column on the right side that's called Go Eco, and it has all these little tips for your home, your family, your indoor air quality. So that's a way to get more information and
right.
information about products. But what I want to tell the caller who won the prize, congratulations, what you have to know about indoor air quality is, just like you said, the venting for homes today, the what I call the building envelope, is so very tight. And at one point, homes were built with lesser engineered products. And that means the windows might have leaked air, the insulation wasn't as much. And now, as a building envelope is so very tight, that indoor air is not escaping, nor is outdoor air coming in. And so imagine you got a little chemical factory going on. You're spraying window and glass cleaner in the bathroom, then you're spraying tub cleaner, then you're spraying your hairspray, and that's like a little chemical factory just in one room. Now multiply that times multiple rooms in your house, plus off-gassing from various toxic chemicals that are used in certain furniture, flooring, and paint products.
Okay. So one of the things I have to say I love about your book is when you have a little diagram and there's like a little really gross dust mite in there.
Yes.
I don't like
says,
those.
This is how to clean your room.
Ooh,
it's like simple little steps. And instead of messing with your health, take the priceless few minutes to look at the diagrams and grids and make sure you're doing those things at least once a quarter in your home.
And I looked at it and I said, oh my gosh, and people really don't understand. I have so many people in my family that have allergies and sneeze and sneeze and sneeze and sneeze. And I think I want to be on a mission and start removing some things. A lot of them have pets and want to remove some of those things from the home or introduce more eco-friendly things that will help with the whole enchilada. Now, let me ask you about this. You talked about Febreze. Okay, but we have to go after another one. What's your opinion about those plugins that emit fake smells? That's what I call them. They make me sick when I smell them in someone's home. Are there healthy ones? What's your read on that? Do they really contribute to the toxicity?
They do contribute to the toxicity. They smell good, but what we have to remember is often the agents in those products deaden the nerve endings in your nose. I don't know what that's called medically, but it's like having a very heavy-duty ammonia-type product, and it just sort of it makes you only smell that because everything else is overwhelmed. I recommend using products with essential oils. So if you remember those room diffusers
that
came out a couple
yep.
of years ago,
yep.
and they had essential oils with little bamboo sticks or other types of sticks coming out of them, and the oils would saturate the sticks, and then you would have a smell in your home. I recommend that. I recommend soy candles, and I recommend opening your windows every once in a while.
I know,
just to get some fresh air inside.
Tucson, that is so not a problem. You know, one of the things that my husband and I, we love the smell of cinnamon, and we any cinnamon and citrus, I think, orange. And one of the things that we do, and only when it's cold, it seems like around Thanksgiving we start doing it, is we put a little thing of potpourri in a tiny crock pot, and we put in cinnamon sticks, and we put in like thyme leaves and cloves, and it smells up the whole house, and it's just water and spices.
And that's wonderful.
It just really smells really good. Okay, so we got the bedroom, we got the bathroom. I think another huge area to talk about that's very, very illuminating in your book is flooring. And there are so many choices. Is bamboo good? Is it eco-friendly? Is it fair trade sourced? If someone is building a house from the ground up, what's your number one, two, and three recommendations for the most eco-friendly and healthiest? I want to keep emphasizing your book brings up health issues, which is obviously a big part of your past. what are the top three floorings that people should be considering?
Well, if you want to be environmentally friendly, consider using reclaimed wood, meaning it's from old factories or old office buildings that have been torn down, and it's salvage wood. It could be an old church or something.
Right, right.
And taking reclaimed flooring. It is expensive, so that's the higher end.
Right.
The next end is taking engineered flooring, which is made by multiple companies. Mohawk is one of those companies. And they take what would typically be a very thin layer of real hardwood. It's considered waste wood sometimes when it's such a thin layer. And they apply that to the top of a non-urea added formaldehyde plywood board.
That's another
Then put that, they stain that and pre-finish it. So when you install it, it's a lock and click system. And then finally, consider bamboo, which is a grass, and it's completely sustainable because it does regrow. And,
right.
You just, again, a lock and click. Now, I'll add a fourth, though. There's cork. Cork has become a more common product than people realize, at least in the Northeast. It's got some give to it, and you can take a cork floor with you just like you would carpet tiles. And so it's another alternative if you want a surface that is
How do you clean cork? I mean, do you just wash it? Did it absorb?
You know, I haven't explored the cleaning process, but I do know more people are using it, and that's a really good question. By the time I talk to you next, I'm going to know the answer to that.
And the other thing is, I know that for wine bottles, a lot of the wine that we buy lately is either a screw-off top, or they're putting in those, it's hard plastic is what I call it, for wine bottles. And what I thought was, is it because of the shortage of cork? So, or is it just that the way that it has to be for a wine bottle and what they have to do for it? Because I wonder about the availability of cork in massive quantities for a floor.
Cork is a renewable resource,
right,
also because it is from the bark of a tree. And they don't kill the tree, they just cut the cork off.
Right, right, so it is. Okay. What about when you were building, and I certainly never, ever, ever want to put anybody on the spot, but I know when you talk about Mohawk, they're a stellar company. That's the carpet that I ended up getting, and I really researched them, and they have a whole cradle-to-cradle concept. They'll take carpet, and they repurpose it. I mean, they're unbelievable. Do you get into, in your journey, the whole fair trade issue and where things are sourced, because it's coming up more and more and more on the radar about, you know, getting Hershey's chocolate, and I'm saying it right out there, from the Ivory Coast, and the fair trade issues around that. I think America is waking up. Unfortunately, you can't just always say, well, I'm going to buy it made in the USA, because a lot of times it isn't. That's the truth. So how big of an issue or discussion do you think fair trade is or is going to be down the road?
Well, I think it's always an issue. You don't want to be working with firms that have child labor. You don't want to be working with firms that have beautiful products that come out of the front door and sludge coming out of the back door.
Right.
You want to always care about a bottom line reality that people have a working wage, for example, and that they are compensated for their work. We, however, sometimes in this country, feel like we can define what other countries do. I think we have to remember that they have their own guidelines. We have to influence, if we can, their practices by saying that's unacceptable, we won't buy from you.
Right, especially in the child labor issue.
Make it a bottom line issue.
Yeah, we can't really support companies that are having 8-year-olds
sewing soccer balls.
Exactly. It's just like,
you know,
really not okay. And there's no secrets anymore with the way that social media is. And speaking of the way the world is today, in your industry, in your field, in your vast connections, are people building less? And is retrofit what you see happening for the, you know, maybe the next couple of years that people are, and if retrofit is hot, are people making more eco-friendly choices?
You know, everyone today has been affected by the economy. whether they admit it or not.
Right, right.
And there is no way that people will do what they used to do, which is go to the starter house 2 years later, get the bigger house 2 years later, get the bigger house.
Right.
Most people are saying finding a way to make it their house and make it happy. And so, you know, I recommend trying to retrofit what you have or remodel it
and
so that
green.
You are happy
right.
with your home.
Right. Okay. This is the end of the show, and I can't believe it. Time flew again. Thank you so much. Robin Wilson, eco designer, author, and expert. Check her out at Robin Homes, RobinWilsonHomes.com. You can always find her through Mrs. Green's World. Visit my website, MrsGreensWorld.com. Have a wonderful, amazing, awesome weekend wherever you are. Make it green, and thanks for tuning in to Mrs. Green's World. Next week, we're live from the Food Co-op. How green is your Super Bowl? Get your green on. Robin, thanks so much for calling in.
You've been listening to Mrs. Green's World on News Talk 790 KNST, all about learning that going green can be fun. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and tune in next Saturday at noon for Mrs. Green's World on News Talk 790 KNST.